So one of the most common questions that we are asked when someone is thinking about going out onto the mission field for the first time is, what do I do with my children? It's a concern for parents. When you ask my daughters, Susie's and my daughters, we have four, and if you ask them, what was the your favorite family trip ever? They will all tell you it was one of our mission trips. Even the time we went to Tenwick for Christmas, that they will tell you that was their favorite Christmas of all time. It's just a wonderful time when you can go out onto the mission field with your children. So to address some of these questions, we've asked four parents. We've asked the Roberts, Ben and Jenny Roberts, and Dino and Janice Crugnolly to come up and share their thoughts on having children out on the mission field with you, raising children on the mission field, and we'll get their thoughts on this. And Reed Vaughn is going to kind of MC this and help ask some of the questions. So,
thank you. It's a joy to be with you tonight. We look forward to sharing briefly with you. A few months ago, when I saw the topics for this conference, I saw this topic, raising a family on the mission field, and I was excited to come hear what people had to say. Until I realized that it was us and the Crugnollys that were going to be sharing. We are not the experts, but by God's grace, we have been serving Him outside of the U.S., and we'll share some of those experiences with you tonight. Let us first introduce you to our families, and this is my family. I'm Ben Roberts and my wife Jenny. These are our three boys. Luke is the oldest, Isaac's our second born, and Nate's our youngest. Don't they look perfect and well behaved? This took about 45 minutes to get this picture, but eventually we got it. The reality is, this is who they are. This is Christmas morning opening up their muscle shirts and showing me who they really were. It's when I first noticed that my oldest son had armpit hair, and it scared me to death. So this is life on the mission field. This is our house. We live, privileged to live in the house of Dr. Ernie Sturey, who founded Tenwick Hospital in 1959, who was the first doctor to be there, and we live in his house. Dino, can you come introduce your family?
Sure. So this is our family. You can see myself and Janice. And our oldest, Elizabeth, is now 13. She was 6 when we went to Tenwick to start serving, and Bella was 3 when we went. She's our middle daughter. And Ben didn't exist at that point, but he's been a joy over the last term, having him with us as well. And this also took quite a while to get, and you can see it involved a balloon before we were done. But we do also, we also enjoy having some of the other missionary kids over and playing with the other kids and just doing stuff the kids love to do here or there. Kids are kids no matter where we are. And so you're going to hear a lot of things tonight that may resonate with you even as you're here. But as you go to the mission field, you'll see that there are stressors that are put on you that are different that may lead you in one direction or another. And listening to the kids is a big part of how we get through this and we get through our daily lives and all the other things.
So to begin with tonight, I want to tell you a story. And it's a true story. It may be familiar to some of you. But the story begins like this. One day when evening had come, Jesus said to his disciples, "Let us go to the other side of the lake." So leaving the crowd, they took him just as he was in a boat. And there were other boats around them. And suddenly, a ferocious windstorm arose such that the waves were breaking into the boat and the boat was filling with water. And Jesus was in the back of the boat, asleep on a pillow. And the disciples woke him up and said, "Master, don't you care if we drown?" Jesus woke up, he rebuked the wind, and he said to the waves, "Peace, be still." And immediately the wind stopped and there was a great calm over the water. Then he looked at the disciples and said to them, "Why are you so afraid? Do you still have no faith?" The disciples were terrified. And they said to one another, "Who is this man? Even the wind and the waves obey him." And this is the end of this story. Well, I think we would all say that the disciples, just like in this story, were obedient to follow the commands of Jesus. He said, "Come, let's go to the other side of the lake," and they jumped in and went. And we have tried to be faithful in following God wherever that is. And for us, that's been to Tenwick Hospital. But we've faced many storms along the way. And sometimes we've asked Jesus, you know, why are these storms here? What are you doing in us? So in the next coming moments, we, with the help of Dr. Reed Vaughn to kind of proctor this, we want to just ask some questions and answer some things to not share our expertise, but to share our experiences and how Jesus has helped us in raising children and having a family on the mission field.
Dr. Vaughn. All right, so my wife Susie and I have been going to Tenwick for the last 8 years. We've gotten the chance to know these four panelists, had an opportunity to watch them parent, watch them do their marriages, and we are, I hope, beyond our child-rearing years, and I can see that some of you are also. But you'll enjoy these folks just like we have. We've gained so much in our own lives watching how they do life and how they seek God's will for themselves and their family as they work there at Tenwick. So I think, regardless of what age, you'll enjoy what they have to say. So let's get started here. Why don't you share, Dino, how did you come to be on the mission field with your family? What led you to that?
So starting early in life, Janice felt called to the mission field at 5, maybe 6 years old. I was a little bit later. I took a little slower. And so when I was 18, I had just become a believer and heard the amazing thing that somehow in the world, Jesus was not known in certain places. And it broke my heart because I hadn't known him for that 18 years. And once I knew him, I thought, boy, everybody needs to know this. And so I was called as well. But if you ask our daughters, and especially if you ask our oldest, how did we come to the mission field? She will answer that it was all her fault. And so, you know, the several years or decades leading up to her life, God did bring us overseas for short-term trips. So I encourage all of you that are doing that to continue to keep the fire for missions alive. And so when she was born, Janice, during her maternity leave, really looked in earnest. We always felt called as full-time missionaries, and Janice felt like this was a good time. She looked and she looked and she looked. And long-term opportunities were very hard to find. Well, over the next few years, we continued to look and did some more short-term things, hoping that they would come out and blossom into something long-term. And they didn't. But around when my daughter was 5, she was at a vacation Bible school. And they were raising money for an orphanage on Fungano Island, which is in Lake Victoria, a part of Kenya. And at the end of the week, they had their program, and they showed a video. And Janice, one of the places we had never been was Africa. And Janice turned to me after the program and said, "I could see us going there." I thought, well, this surely is the Lord's working. And so we planned a trip later that year. And we came to Uganda first because we knew some people that were doing some missions there. God closed the door there. We came down to visit that orphanage, and we said, you know, where do you send your people? Because it was clearly not quite ready for us to be on the island. And so they said we'd bring them to Tenwick. And so that's how we got to Tenwick, which is where we've been serving since 2007. But my daughter has owned that story. That is her story. And for us as a family, we will continue to say that God did not call Janice. He did not call me. He called us all as a family. And that's how we came to be on the mission field.
And how about you, Ben? Can you briefly tell us how you guys?
Yeah, so I met Jenny when I was a first-year medical student. She was finishing nursing school. We were at a Bible study, and I heard her pray for a missionary, a national missionary in Honduras, and my ears perked up. Also, I was quite attracted to her as well. So we dated through med school, got married as a senior medical student, and we had the opportunity to go to Tenwick, having being newlyweds. We arrived at Tenwick, and they took us to the guest house. It was during December, so there really were no other visitors. And they marched us into the guest house and showed us our room where we would be staying for 2 months, and there was bunk beds. And my wife fell apart. First Christmas away from her family, and here we were, newlyweds with bunk beds. But they graciously gave us an apartment with normal beds, and that began our experience at Tenwick. We spent 2 months there, had the privilege to go back again when I was an intern, and really after that second trip, felt God leading us specifically to serve him at Tenwick Hospital. I'm an ophthalmologist, and that's where we are. So I came back and finished training, and we moved there in 2006 with our family.
Okay. So let me just ask, what the four of you in general, what blessings have you received as a family from serving at Tenwick? What advantages have there been in raising a family on a mission field as opposed to raising them in downtown Detroit?
It could be the same in both places. But one of the biggest takeaways that I've found as a blessing is that my kids have a worldview more so than just a Western Americanized view of life. It's really amazing to watch them be among the blind, seeing, or go to the hospital and pray over a sick child. I remember the heart team came one time to several times, but they came to Tenwick, and we've got one of our heart surgeons back there that's come several times, and we had this one patient, Ian, and my middle son said, "We need to pray for this kid. He looks really sick." And he was. He was extremely sick. And we were told he would die if he would not have his heart valve replacement. And so Isaac, our tender-hearted middle son, began praying for Ian. So we went up later to visit him in recovery. And the first thing Ian said to my son was, "God is good all the time, God is good." And he was just singing it through the hospital recovery room. And that was just so neat for my son to have a part in it. So it really has given them more of a worldview as one of the blessings, one of many.
I would agree with that. I think one of the things that sometimes we forget, because it's true for if you're Christian parents and your children have accepted Christ in their heart, they have a purpose. And I think sometimes we forget to teach our children that they do have a place in God's purpose and God's redemption of this world. And for some reason, what he's taught us is that when you're on the mission field, it's easier for them to see that purpose. God does something because there's so many opportunities to serve or to see need. I think for some reason our kids can sense it more. We don't insulate them so much. Maybe that's part of it. But they sense that they have a place as well. They have a role in this redemption that God's called us all to play. And that's really neat to be part of that.
Go ahead, Jim.
I was just going to name a few more blessings. That there's many, and so I don't want to leave those out because you've got to count your blessings, right? So another one for my kids is they have the experience of various foods, sights, and even some interesting smells. And and so foods, my boys have loved to try new foods. I do have one picky eater, but my other two, they'll try whatever. And they love going out to the village and eating beans and rice. I mean, they can't wait to go eat beans and rice out in the village. They love ugali, and they love their cup of chai. And we still, here in America, sit down and have our cup of chai together because it's not just a cup of chai. It's a time that you fellowship with one another and relax and take a chill in the day. The kids can be kids on the mission field. And that's one thing that they love, is that they can roam, they can climb trees, they can explore. Their boundaries are a little bit more open than what they are here in America. And they really miss being able to go out and to explore and have fun and run around barefoot. I do let my boys run around barefoot. And it's one of the few perks that they can enjoy. But, you know, just being kids and not feeling that pressure, the weight of the world, they come up with so many amazing creative ideas, and we'll have forts scattered all over our house. Or one day I went outside, my son had created a swimming pool out of a tarp and out of garbage cans. So, you know, they can just be really creative, and I love watching them be kids and watch their mind at work.
And what about the time that you spend with your kids? You've all lived here in the U.S., you come back on furlough and you spend time. What's different about your lives there on site at Tenwick?
Well, I get to have most meals with my family. I may get home late for lunch, but even so, I come in the house and they're running around the house as I'm, you know, throwing down food to go back to the hospital. And I have supper every night with my family, have breakfast on the run, but with my family. So I have more FaceTime with my family there than I do here. Even in our few months here on furlough, I find that, you know, I leave early in the morning, come home in the evening, and we miss that FaceTime. Yeah.
Dino, can you comment on what it's like to have kids that are in this community of believers, and how that might be a little different than what you experience here in the U.S.?
Yeah, I think, you know, having just recently come home for furlough from Tenwick, you know, we were there for 4 years, and that's a long time for kids at that point in their lives. It's almost half of some of their life. And they come home, and they think they know what they're getting into, especially our older two who had some sense of being in school here before they left and all of those things. But you find out that your neighbor is not actually your neighbor. You find out that, you know, in order to do something, you have to plan time, and you have to probably get in a car to go do anything, to be with a friend, to hang out. What do you do together? There is none of that at Tenwick. At Tenwick, you walk out the door, and suddenly there's four or five kids waiting to play with you. There is, you know, some project going on over here that you can get involved in. For me, one of the things that I miss, actually, you'll find this unusual because I'm really not a homeschooler at heart, but I found one of the hugest blessings, not maybe for my kids, but for me, was that Janice and I are both family medicine doctors, and so we share, kind of job share a little bit. And so that leaves me home with the kids and doing homeschooling on some days. And watching my kids learn, actively learn, has just been a huge blessing to me. And it's not something I get when I'm like, what do you have today at school? What do you have for homework? I can't really fathom all the things because I'm not with them. I think what Ben said is very true. Our time with them in the States is much more scattered, and our time with them there, and to really be able to do the parenting that you want to do, to be involved in the kids' lives, and to be involved in this community where you feel like, hey, you know what? I know how Aunt Jenny, you know, Aunt Amy, Aunt Pam are going to parent them even when I'm not around, and to know those things. And also, I think the confidence that it has built into them having those influences in their lives. They come home, and I feel like they have something to offer the people that are here to help them understand that there are things in different cultures that we can benefit from. And they come away from here understanding a difference in our culture that they can benefit from back there. So I think those are things.
All right. Ben, how do you guys have fun? What do you do together as a family, or how do you do your vacations there? What's some of the stuff that happens?
Yeah, I think our fun may differ from the Crognallys. I have a house full of boys, so you do have to be creative. But we have a little river that runs a hydroelectric plant, and several years ago I thought, wow, I would love to get a boat on this river. So the next visitor we had come over, I had them bring an inflatable raft, a little ducky raft, and my boys have loved that. Carry it upstream, hour and a half on a Saturday, and we jump in and go down together and have hundreds, literally hundreds of Kenyan kids running beside the river, yelling and screaming at us, wanting to touch the boat.
You do have to be creative. But we have a lot of game nights, and most famously, every Friday night is pizza night at Tenwick. And we've been here in the States, and my boys have asked many times on Friday night, Mommy, when are you making your pizza?
Go ahead, Jenny.
The Crognallys and us one time took a mini vacation to Mount Kenya area, and we decided we'd go out on a picnic in the Aberdares. And so we loaded up our car, had our picnic, we were all ready to get out, and there were buffalo, water buffalo, like right there, which is a very dangerous animal. And so our kids creatively said, we can still have our picnic, we'll just do it on top of the car. So all the kids got the picnic out and got on the two cars, because we both have like Land Cruiser type cars, and they just had their picnic up there while the parents stood guard in the car ready to go if the buffalo attacked. So, you know, you create lots of creative fun. We do have some wild and wacky birthday parties. Crognallys are famous for their cake decorating skills. They definitely win the cake award. We like to get really muddy, so we've had a Tough Mudder party. I don't know if you're familiar with that in the States, but we created our own little fun with our boys and made our own Tough Mudder party. So we become really creative and especially try to make holidays fun and exciting for the kids. You don't have all the entertainment that you have here in America. It's not like we try to over-entertain, but we do try to create some fun memories for the kids.
All right, so there's blessings and there's great fun. Let's hear about some of the challenges and what do you face in raising children in that environment and abroad. Dino and you and Janice want to comment on what do you see as challenges on the mission field?
You know, it's interesting because, again, our children are now 13, 10, and 4. And when our children were little, everyone said, little children, little problems. Big children, big problems, right? And so it is definitely different transitioning back with small children. Benjamin, who's 4, he didn't even have any idea. One day we had been here for about 2 weeks. We got in the car. He's like, oh, we're going to Kenya today? I was like, do you even know that we're on a different continent? I mean, really? He didn't seem to. It didn't seem to make any difference. The one of the bigger challenges that I've noticed as the girls get older is the issue of identity. You know, are they Kenyan? Are they American? Who really are they? Are they? And they don't. And so they're, as they start school and all that, they're kind of making their way through that, I guess I would say. And we just keep encouraging them that their identity is in Jesus. It's not where you were born. It's not who your friends are. It's not even who your family is, although these can be stabilizing factors in our lives. But really, our lives are in Jesus, and that's where we have to put our hope and our faith. And so our hope is that they'll understand and truly come to embrace that as their true foundation. But that is a big challenge, I think, for most missionary children as they're kind of transitioning back and forth.
Ben and Jenny, what about you guys?
I think one of the challenges, one of the blessings about where we live is community life and having Uncle Dino and Aunt Janice and having a family that we know we can trust and be around. And that's also one of the greatest challenges about living on the mission field, living in community. One of the challenges is finding time alone as a family, as a couple. That's a great challenge. Sometimes you can go months and months before you have time alone with your spouse because you live in community with people around. So that's a big challenge, yeah. We try to be creative in how we work through that. And creating that time, we want to prioritize our marriage and our nuclear family time together before all these other things. But it's a big challenge.
Mm-hmm. Okay, how about relationships with the families at home? And what does that mean, raising your kids away from your extended families? And how do you try to maintain those relationships? Dino, you want to comment on that?
So we have this picture on our mantle, which has most of Janice's family. One of the times before we left for the mission field, we went on a vacation together, and almost all of her family is there. And so we go through every once in a while with our kids. Do you remember who this is? Who is this? And we had to teach Ben because he had been 4 months old when we left. And so he had to learn all of them. And amazingly, he knew who they were when we got home. He knew who Nana and Grampy were. He knew who Auntie Laura was and all of those things. So that's one touch point is the pictures. I think we are fortunate, whether it happens all the time, whether the connection works all the time, is not always there. But technology these days does allow us a little bit more connection with family back here. Our older girls had some friends that they had met in school when they were here before we left, and they were able to email back and forth periodically and at least keep in touch, which became a huge blessing when we came home this time, because our oldest was going into eighth grade, and you know, those years are difficult. Junior high years are difficult to begin with, and transitioning in from another culture, she had that one person, and they allowed her to go to school with her one day, to follow her throughout the day, to see what school in America was like, to reconnect with this friend. And so I think even keeping one or two small touches here and there, and the same thing is true now. She is occasionally emailing people back there to say, you know, what's happening, although a lot of us are here now. So.
Okay. Ben, how about you and Ginny? What about the relationship with the boys and their grandparents? How often do they get to see them? How have you been able to bridge that?
Well, as Dino said, I think through communication, it is difficult with time change. We're at 9 hours difference from grandparents, and they have very busy schedules. We do try to purpose, when we come back to the States, to block time where we go and we visit and we spend time reconnecting, and we actually get them out of their environment and setting so that we can be together. Because we found that when we go to our parents' home place, they're so busy and involved, it's harder for them to pull away. So if we can go to a place away, and we've had several generous donors and supporters that have offered their vacation homes for us to use, so we as a family will go to those places. And those have been key and very instrumental times. When you ask my youngest son, Nate, what was one of your highlights of the summer, they would say, when we got to spend time with our grandparents. And so that's really special and neat for them. They do go through a deep sense of loss each time we leave here and we leave to go back. There's a lot of one of the challenges I notice with the kids is it's a grief process. It's a grief process for us, but also for our kids. And even pets are a big deal and a big grief. You wouldn't think it would be, but it's huge. And that's one of the dynamics we're dealing with now. Our boys dearly miss our beloved golden retriever. So it's loss, you know, that they have to process, and we have to help them work through it.
All righty. How about, Ben, let's have you talk just a little bit about education of your kids in Kenya. What does that look like at the grade school level, and the pros and cons of trying to do that? And then a big issue that I think face both of your families are, what happens when your kids reach the high school age, and what choices do you have to make about where they go?
Well, I think I am going to pass the microphone on this. Jenny takes the greatest role. Every night, our conversation going to bed in Kenya usually revolves around some aspect of educating our kids, and so we have that connect, and we talk through that, but during the day, she has the primary role of that. We have, every year looks different. Why don't you summarize that?
I would say for me, the biggest challenge of being on the mission field is education. I don't know if Janice feels the same way, but I do. I feel very inadequate as a homeschooling mom. I love homeschooling, but my boys don't always like to learn from mom. So that's a huge challenge and an obstacle that I daily lay at the Savior's feet to equip and to help. I feel like a Moses, needing every ounce that the Lord can give me of what to say and do. But thankfully, God does provide resources. The thing is I'm a planner. I like to be able to see the plan ahead of me. And when you're on the mission field, there is not a plan year to year, other than you know that there will be needy people. You know that there will be lots of work to do and lots of incredible opportunities. But the educational plan for our kids, unless you are thriving and doing well in a homeschool educational setting, then it can be very fluid and changing. Praise the Lord, he brought the Kellys, and so Stephanie was Luke's math teacher. He was doing algebra last year, and so she was very instrumental in helping him. Janice helped teach science, and I taught her daughter lower science, and she taught Luke physical science, and so we help each other out at Tenwick. We have a co-op system that's been able to work. Some years it works, other years it doesn't. Last year we had, I think, 24 kids on the compound, and others were at RVA from eighth grade on. They, kids were at RVA Rift Valley Academy at Kajabi, which is an excellent school. But the younger kids, we kind of had a co-op system. This year there's only 6 kids at Tenwick, and everything's changed, and so the moms are having to homeschool those kids individually. So it changes constantly, and it's a constant prayer concern for all of us.
Okay. So the whole aspect of when the kids reach high school and what has to happen with them, maybe Dino, I think both of your families are facing this now, so anybody can comment, but tell us just very briefly what choice you have to make about and decision you have to make about where your kids are going to be.
Yes, this is timely because that is kind of where we both are with our oldest in eighth grade. So when you're thinking about education on the mission field, I think the things that you have to think about is how, what your children are like, what are the options available, and what is your goal, what's your philosophy of educating your children, and all of those things. I would highly advise if anyone's in that situation, go to a good conference about educating your children on the mission field and get information and advice on that. But then, again, you individually, you look at each child and you try to see what they need and what's the best way to do it. And when I think about this, because, again, as Jenny said, it is probably one of the most challenging things that a family faces, when I think about it, I really have to come back and say, you know, God, if you've called us there and you've called our children because they're part of us, that means you've called us all there, and you have a plan, and you have a good plan for them. And it may or may not be my plan or what I would like the most, but let me look at the options you've given us, and let's pray through this and figure out what it is. We don't actually know what we're doing yet with our oldest. It really depends on whether or not she feels she's ready to head to boarding school, so we're kind of still in that wait-and-see period. But if we and she feel she's not ready to go there yet, then we'll continue homeschooling. Yeah.
So the decision you face is to either keep them at Tenwick and homeschool them through high school where they may have less and less associates around them, or to send them 2 or 3 hours away to Rift Valley Academy, an excellent institution, but you're sending your ninth grade outside your home, and that I know is a really tough situation for everybody. So let's just move on a minute. Long-term missionaries get a chance to see a lot of short-term people come through the compound and through the work there, and you also deal with supporters at home and things. How can people, short-term missionaries or others at home, how can they bless your families? How can they help you guys?
Well, the visitors that have come to Tenwick have been tremendous blessings. We could have a long list. I try to think of different situations in the past. I remember when we were first getting ready, this was not even a visitor to Tenwick, but one of our dear friends and supporters. When we were getting ready to go to Tenwick, we were packing a small container, and they went out to Sam's Club and called me on the phone and said, "How many diapers do you need to get your children out of diapers until they're done wearing diapers?" And I was like, wow. So we sat down mathematically and tried to figure out sizes and ages and make our best guess, and gave him a number, and he purchased all of these diapers that we potentially would need to bring back and put on this container. And then he called back and he said, this guy doesn't have kids. He said, "When you change a diaper, how many wipes do you use?" I said, "Well, could be a 1 wiper or a 10 wiper. It all depends, you know." So he said, "Well, on average, how many wipes do you use?" And so we picked a number, maybe 3 or 4, and he bought wipes, and that was a tremendous blessing to us. Coming to the mission field, blessings come in many different ways, but we are thankful for all of them.
Yeah.
I would say different families that come and serve. The Sawyers have come, and they were so giving. They had a night for the kids to come over and have pizza, and they were just fantastic visitors and just really loved our family as well, and just played with our boys and had a great time. Their family incorporated with our family. The Cheatham girls came and climbed in the backyard on our treehouse, and I remember them being a part of that. And it's fun for our kids to incorporate with other kids, and that's been a big gift. But providing those date nights, just little things, having families over for a meal, those were great blessings to us.
Do you know any?
I want to add on to that when people come, and especially when our kids connect, and this happens with teams that we have sometimes visit, or short-term visitors that come and visit, that is a connection for them on this side as well. And oftentimes that helps with their transition. For instance, when we're going to visit a church, if they know, oh, this is the church that came and visited us, they'll always know one or two people from the team. And that, again, helps them relationally on this side to say, hey, you know what? I'm loved over here as well as I'm loved over there. Let me tell you one time that I was truly blessed. One of my jobs at Tenwick is to run the family medicine residency, which I've never done prior to being at Tenwick. And so we had one of our residents was having some trouble, and we had a visitor who had 13 plus years of residency, trainer, person. That's what he had done in his career over here. And I took him aside one day and I said, Don, what do I do? I just really didn't know what to do. And so he walked me through how he would process that. And sometimes just the expertise that you bring as a short-term person can be a huge blessing to us as adults as well as to our kids.
Alrighty. We're going to be wrapping up here in a few minutes, but there's lots of people in this audience who may have gone on a mission trip or they're contemplating going, and they are thinking, should we or should we not take our family? We're worried about the dangers. We're worried about the what it'll be like. What's your advice to folks in the audience who are thinking about whether or not to take their kids on a mission trip?
So this is my disclaimer. This is my advice, not necessarily hers. She may have her own. I was just talking to somebody recently about this who has some small children and is thinking about going for a month. And I say, listen, as I think about these kinds of experiences, it's really what risk are you willing to take on your family for the amount of time that you want to be there? If God has called you long term, you know that God has called your family long term. There's no question. Your family is coming. No matter how many people ask you, are your kids going with you? They're going. But short term, I think it's up to every individual family to say, hey, you know what? I am going to Iraq for a month. Maybe bringing my four-month-old is not necessary for this particular mission. That being said, not every family will answer that the same way. And so I think it's a very individual message, and that's how I present it to people.
Ben or Jenny, you guys got a comment on that?
I just like to always think about the Narnia series, The Lion, Witch, and the Wardrobe, and I'll misquote this, but when the question is asked about Aslan, is he safe? And the response is, no, he's not safe, but he's good. And, living, as I'm sure we'll hear in just a minute, anywhere in the world, we're not guaranteed safety. Mm-hmm. But God is good, and he's called us to respond faithfully to him.
I certainly have seen a lot of families who do go on the mission field short term for 2 to 4 weeks, and they have phenomenal family experiences together. And their children benefit a great deal from rubbing shoulders with you guys and the things that they get to see. Briefly, to any questions from the audience from these guys? Yes.
Do you know, and Janice, can you, as a dual doctor family, talk about how you balance your two roles in terms of, or multiple roles in terms of at home and at work?
So as a dual doctor family, how do you guys make it work and how do you balance your lives?
It's a good question, and I'll let you know once we figure it out, but it's varied a lot. Being both family medicine doctors, it's been a little bit easier because we're a little bit interchangeable, although we've become less as Dino specialized more in cardiology, and he's kind of taken on those roles, and my roles have changed a little bit. The thing that helped us the most was that the mission field that we came to was willing to let us be flexible. And we said, when we got there, we said, we can tell you that someone has to be with our children. Someone has to teach our children. And we feel that God's called us to that as well. So we're not looking for someone else to do that for us. So you'll get one doctor and one parent, and we'll let us figure it out. And the biggest thing for us was flexibility over and over again. There were times that I would work a month and he would be home and he would work a month. There were times that we did every other day. There were times that, you know, I would come home at night and he'd take call. And it really varied a lot. And flexibility was the biggest and most important thing. And to know that the people there, like, we can be flexible, but the people on the field with us were so committed to letting us do what we needed to do. That's how we've survived.
Okay. And one other question. Yes. Any other? Yes, back. So when you first went over, what about the actual physical dangers for your children, day-to-day things?
I've actually seen more poisonous snakes here in America than I have where I am in Kenya. Although we were in South Sudan, and the boys saw a python, and they thought that was the best day of their life. They were so pumped. You know, before we left, I was plagued with fears. I felt like Satan was really trying to discourage me. I mean, I was pregnant, I had a baby, and then boom, we moved to Kenya. But, you know, his grace gives you what you need when you're there. Have there been moments I've been fearful? Yeah, but where we live, I mean, nothing's relatively safe, but we feel safe in our environment, even though we know there's no safety guaranteed. But it's amazing how he's given us the peace that we need when we need it. Circumstances have happened beyond any of our control, but God has just supplied what we needed and the grace we needed to get through it at those moments. And I think it's just keeping our eyes fixed on him.
All right. So they've had an opportunity to share with you guys, share their lives and things, but we're going to have just a minute here where we can maybe give back a little bit to these folks. Ben?
Yeah, I just wanted us to close just with maybe 30 seconds of silence and encourage you to pray for a missionary. We depend upon prayer much more than finances. So think of a missionary unit that you know, and let's close this time out by praying for them silently, okay? Amen. Thank you so much. We'd love to talk with any of you in the breaks.
Well, thank you very much. That was great. It's a real joy to take your family out on the mission field.